You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good morning, as in 7:15 p.m. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team, well, every day for a lot, but not here because we don't have a lot to talk about. Do have some things to talk about that have come up today. We'll get to those tomorrow. We're going to try to double up tomorrow to do two for Friday. Try to do one in the morning and one in the evening. That is the goal, because I do want three this week. But we are here today. We're here on Thursday, and we are doing the mailbag. So, without further ado, start with our leaders and best. Starting with James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Whose seat is hotter, Gattis or Harbaugh? If your answer is Gattis and he gets let go at the end of the year, who would you like to see the old Harbaugh offense brought back or stay with the new age offense? I do think that Gattis is the one on the hotter seat. I think if the offense is still, let's say if the offense looks like it did last year, I think that there's a very good chance that he could be out the door. I think he's got to perform. It's year three. That's how you usually look at it. Perform in year three. You know, sometime, or perform by year three, right? Harbaugh had performed by year three. He had two straight 10-3 seasons and was very close to beating Ohio State once, going to double overtime in Columbus. And obviously things have been up and down since then. A good year in 2018, an okay year in, but not great in 2019. It felt really bad at the time, and then it got way worse in 2020. As far as the second question, would I rather the offense go back to what it was or stay new age? I say stay modern. I mean, this is the way that it works in college football now. And I think that there is a certainly being contrarian can be its own deal, you know? If teams are used to defending the spread, then maybe they aren't as good at defending traditional. But I say just lean into the curve, right? Like, football's changed, and it hasn't just changed at the college level. It's changed at the pro level. Pro level has integrated a lot of spread. Now, Michigan obviously being a pro spread, it's not fully just, it's not like it's a straight up Rich Rodriguez experience. It's not the air raid either. But I say you continue to cultivate what you have instead of switching back and forth every couple of years, because honestly, this type of system is much more alluring to, I'd say, 90% of recruits on the offensive side of the ball, because it's just the traditional pro set does not, I mean, it's not even really existing in the pros anymore. So, Josh Barajadicki, you have discussed five stars not performing like five stars, but do you think the new defensive staff will get the most out of Hill and Hinton? I mean, we'll see. Obviously, Hinton's still working with the same position coach. And Daxton Hill is working with Ron Bellamy as well as Steve Klinkscale, but as well as obviously defensive coordinator Mike McDonald. I mean, you'd hope so. You'd hope that they, like, I feel like McDonald's the type of guy that says, this is what we got, let's use it to the best of our ability, coming from the NFL, because I feel like the NFL tends to be more player driven than scheme driven. So I hope it has that same kind. It's kind of like Juwan Howard coming from the NBA. It's more player-driven than scheme-driven. You hope that having him as a defensive coordinator coming from the NFL is the same type of idea. I think the offense has some of that too. With Gattis, I think Matt Weiss is a really good example of someone who's not married to a scheme as much as he's married to just getting the most out of his players. I know we're talking both sides of the ball here, but obviously he's also working with a five-star in J.J. McCarthy. So you would hope. What I would like to see is, you know, Don Brown, it really felt on the defensive side of the ball, like he got a lot out of guys like Josh Metellus. We've talked about him a lot recently. He got a lot out of those 3-star guys. But when it came to the 5-stars, they just didn't. I mean, yeah, Jabril Peppers in 2016, but Michigan was asking him to do so much. You just kind of want to see someone say, like with, you know, Rashawn Gary, for instance, like this guy could be a freak that goes and gets the quarterback. But instead, and this was what, like, people try to say, oh, that's not what Michigan was doing. Absolutely, it was what Michigan was doing. They were having, Gary was taking on double and triple teams. That was his goal. It didn't always end up that way. Sometimes he was, you know, matched up singly. But his goal was to occupy the one side while the other side, Chase Winovich, went and got the quarterback. So I think it's kind of similar what, you know, dynamic sometimes you saw with Aiden and Quitty. Quitty's a first-round pick, and I talked to some people in Indianapolis that were, like, somewhat confused. Like, why are we getting him, even though he was projected to be a first-round pick? It's like his stats don't look incredible. And it's like, well, because the design, granted, he was very close a lot. But, like, the design of Don Brown's defense wasn't always going to get you all your stats. But sometimes it did. Taco Charlton, he had 10 sacks in the 1 year, and that propelled him to go in the first round. So hopefully it's more player-centric, not scheme-centric. Michael Wolf, my brother in metal, Michael Wolf, at MWolf21. Is this the year that Michigan can start games faster and is more explosive? I certainly hope so, man, because it's been a couple years where they just do not pounce. They have to play from behind. Last year they played from behind every single game. And then you look at games like, imagine if they would have started the Penn State game the way that they did late in the first half, or basically how they did in the second half. They would have won that game. Imagine if they started the Wisconsin game. I know Wisconsin had been kind of, I'm talking 2019, by the way. Imagine they started the Wisconsin game in 2019 the way that they played more in the second half. They just play from behind. If the defense gives up whatever, it's like the air gets taken out of the balloon. It just what has not been a resilient ball club the last couple of years. So you hope that they have that intestinal fortitude to be able to be more like it was in 2016. 2018, I think that maybe is part of it. 2018, the whole plan in 2018 was we're just going to squeeze him to death very slowly. That was how that team operated. 2016, the goal was we want this over by halftime. We want our reserves in the second half. So you hope that they find a way to get back to that. Writer for Wolverines Wire, Trent Noop at Trent Noop. Do you think the current stable of receivers are being overlooked outside of Ronnie Bell? I think it's certain. I mean, yeah, but I think it's kind of similar to the running backs where it's like it's so loaded and like on paper, it's really good. I don't know what outside of Ohio State, which just has an insane receiver room right now, like maybe the best in the country now that Alabama's graduated all their people. I there's not a lot of other teams in the Big Ten where you look at the receiver group and say, okay, granted, it would have been a lot better with Giles Jackson, but I mean, you still have Cornelius Johnson and AJ Henning and Roman Wilson. And I know a lot of people aren't as big on Mike Sainer still. I mean, he's got to show it yet. And then you've got the two new guys. It would have been a lot nicer to have a couple more of those high-end ones. It's not quite as amazing as it would have been if you had Giles Jackson and Xavier Worthy, as it was looking like was going to be the case just a few short months ago. But I think that there's good reason to like a lot of these guys. Andrell Anthony, Christian Dixon. I think there's a lot of reasons to like pretty much every single person that I mentioned. I think they all have that capability of being a star. Mike Sanders still included. So we'll see if they how they end up faring in full stadiums this fall, as it turns out. Finishing us out in segment one, Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner One. Where would you rank the Michigan coaching staff, including recruiting staff, in the Big Ten? That's question number one. That's interesting. I ranked the coaches that Michigan will face, but I did not rank the staffs. And honestly, like, I don't necessarily know a ton about, like, behind the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator of a lot of the teams. Ohio State, sure. Of course, I know them pretty much top to bottom. I think I know a pretty good deal about Penn State, but I don't even know. Like, I can't, like, if you wanted me to list off Michigan State's coaching staff off the top of my head, I couldn't. I could go and look it up and be like, oh, yeah, that's right. Across the board. So I'd have a hard time, but I mean, that said, I mean, theoretically, behind Ohio State, and I know, like, Penn State's got Mike Yurkich and Brent Pry, and they've done a really good job. When you look at Wisconsin, they've got obviously Jim Leonard on the defensive side, and you feel really good about him. Outside of the, you know, what I just mentioned, there's not a lot that I sit there and say, all right, this is watch out now. Whereas I feel like on paper, regardless of the lack of accolades, like Josh Gattis is someone to behold. Mike McDonald coming from the NFL should be someone to behold. You feel really good about a lot of these guys when you really look into what they've been able to do. So I think that Michigan has to be at worst three. As far as your second question, what are the three big games you're looking forward to the most? Could be conference or non-conference. Let's see. I just did a whole thing. So I got to try to think about what some of those games are. There's some really big non-conference games that I'm looking forward to the most. Like, I don't think there's any in-conference ones. And I was just talking to my best friend about this. In-conference, to some degree, I'm kind of like, even though we were like, yeah, you know, you get up. Like, you don't feel like it in the summer, but sometimes you see, Northwestern Wisconsin could be interesting. You know, but like that's, you have to build to that point with a lot of these teams. Like, obviously, one of them that I am looking forward to that is in conference, I'll give you one, is Wisconsin-Penn State, because we just do not get to see, like, Penn State and Ohio State have been dodging one of the best teams in the West for years, whereas Michigan plays them every year. Now, will Wisconsin be one of the best teams when they face off this year? We'll see. I want to say Ohio State, Oregon, but I'm also not going to, because I just kind of feel like that feels like it technically is going to be good, but at the same time, I'm almost like, you know what? Maybe not. I feel like Ohio State's going to win that one. If assuming it finds a quarterback, probably going to win that one relatively handily. So I don't know. I'm trying to find the ones that I, as you know, I don't read a lot of these beforehand. There's a couple of the games that I'm like, yes, I want to see that. I'm just trying to remember what they are. So give me a second, because I have them here. Notre Dame seems interesting, but you know what I can't wait to see, honestly? I think it'll be a loss. I have Nebraska going 5-7 this year. Nebraska, Oklahoma. So that's number two. Oklahoma, a lot of people think, is going to be maybe the best team in the country, but still. Nebraska, Oklahoma is one that I'm really waiting for. And you know what? Wisconsin, they make the list twice. Wisconsin, Notre Dame, that's at Soldier Field. That's the other one. So I'm curious about that. All right, running long in segment one is what it is. Let's just get to it anyway. All right. RockAuto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique. It's remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked down in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, continuing on with Jim at Jim in the North. He says, I've heard Ohio State fans say their athletic academics are as rigorous as Michigan's, and they show their graduation rate is proof. Do you have any insight on this? For a kid looking at both, is it generally accepted their school will be harder than Michigan, or is that something, or harder at Michigan, or is that something we tell ourselves? I do not have any proof that I can sit there and point to you. Graduation rate is not proof. Let me put it that way. If school is super easy, you are going to graduate more people. I'm not saying Ohio State is super easy. Ohio State has vehemently improved its scholastics and academics over the course of the last decade or two. Significantly. Michigan is still harder. I know people sit there and say, well, they're general studies degrees. General studies doesn't mean that the classes are easier. It just means that the concentration, it's not like you're going and taking 20 sociology classes over a three-year period. Right? And yeah, and to some degree, I'm sure that you can get away with a little bit more, but it's a more of a holistic degree program. It doesn't make it easier. There's certainly people who have transferred out, and I've told you this before, because they cannot hack it at Michigan. I'm not going to name names. It's not as rigorous. I understand, like, you want to say, well, they general studies, graduation rates, whatever. No. That's not how it works. Athletes are in the same classes as the rest of us. Granted, I don't know that I might have had some athletes, and I definitely had some athletes in my classes, but not football players when I was at Michigan. But I was a film major. I had a softball player that was also a film major in my tenure. Trying to think if I had anyone else. I'm sure in some of the big lectures there were somebody, but I took things that interested me, and maybe it just didn't interest some of those guys. But I know people who have had classes with football players, and some of my classmates and such, and the people that I'm referring to were smarter than me. So it is what it is. Secondly, from Jim, how did you know you were allergic to alcohol? Sorry if that's too private. Just wondering if it can develop. Never too private. I'm an open book. It can develop because I was not allergic to alcohol. Here's how I found out, and it started with beer. I definitely was an enthusiast, a.k.a. sometimes I overindulged. Not always. I'm not saying I was like an alcoholic or anything like that, but I certainly loved my alcohol. Day drinking always seemed fun, but nonetheless, one day I was having a beer with lunch, like one might, and I was like, oh, I'm having a hard time breathing. Oh, my face feels weird. So I finished that beer. I ordered a second one, but I took one sip and said, you know what? Nah, I can't. I'm just not. I feel like exhausted. I can't breathe. It's weird. And I go out to my car, and my face had doubled in size. So I went to urgent care and got it figured out. So that was it with beer. It took a year before the same stuff started happening with liquor and wine. And I was primarily a liquor and wine drinker. But if I didn't want to get buzzed or whatever, I'd have like a beer or two or whatever, like I was at lunch. So, I still very occasionally, very, very rarely will drink. And some, I don't necessarily always get those issues, the facial swelling, the difficulty breathing, the heart palpitations, digestive issues, all kinds of stuff that ends up happening. But for instance, I went out on a date a couple months ago, and I said girl was goaded me into having one drink. So I had half of a gin and tonic. Because I was like, not realizing that tonic could be high in histamines, because I think I'm allergic to histamines. I partook in half of the gin and tonic because gin is low in histamines. Felt fine, felt normal. Usually, if I, you know, it takes like a, if I take a sip, I feel like my body is like seizing. Didn't feel that. But then the next 3 days, I had all the symptoms I normally have. I felt like death for 3 days. So I tend to not imbibe. Did find an Italian wine at one point that I had, didn't even have a hangover. I think I've always had an allergy because my hangovers have always been super brutal, even when, in my 20s. And I think that was more of an allergic reaction than a hangover. So that's that. Brandon at Brandon S616. What are the 5 most important recruits in the Harbaugh era? Okay. Off the top of my head, ones that Harbaugh got. Rashawn Gary, because he was the number one guy in the country. Devin Bush, because I think that's the reason why the 17-18 defenses were so good, in big part to Devin Bush. Donovan Peoples-Jones. I know I'm naming mostly high guys because you kept them away from Ohio State. That's a really big perception win, especially getting that in-state guy. Daxton Hill, because you stole him back from Alabama. That's, again, a huge perception win. And it's got to be another non-5-star guy in there somewhere that I'm trying to think of. But there isn't. It's Donovan Edwards. You had to get and keep Donovan Edwards. More, I think that he's more important overall than JJ. Because I think that that's, you needed, it's a position of need and a guy you couldn't lose. So, continuing, assuming Cade is the starter and his performances from last year, are what we expect, what chance do you give Michigan to beat Ohio State? Still 1%. Until Michigan does it, I don't give Michigan a chance, especially the way that they played the last 2 times. At some point, Ohio State's going to come back down at least a little bit. And I think this year certainly could be it. And at some point, Michigan's going to get back to where it needs to be. I just don't know if it's going to coincide. Michigan always seems to have bad luck going into that game. Wilton Spate getting injured 2 weeks beforehand, for instance, you know? Or Rashawn Gary was already banged up, but then Chase Winovich getting injured the week beforehand. Bunch of guys getting injured in that game. Devin Bush, David Long. I think there was a lot of overconfidence on Michigan's end as well. But, yeah. And also, he asked, if you could pick one current coach to take over the team next, if Jim Harbaugh leaves, who would it be? That's hard because there's a lot of new coaches. If Gattis had an amazing, well, number one, why is Jim Harbaugh leaving? Of his own volition, or is he being fired? If Gattis really steps things up, offense looks incredible, maybe Gattis. Maybe Mike Hart, because he was the associate head coach at Indiana. Everyone on the defensive side is new. Offensive side, I mean, you got Gattis. I don't know. That's a lot of question marks as it is. All right, we've got a lot more in our Victor's Valiant. We're going to push them to the next segment. But before we do, Enchanted Pants at Enchanted Pants says, should the inventor of the Built Bar be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, or would a Congressional Medal of Honor be sufficient? I responded to him on Twitter and said, you know what? Both. I smashed 2 Built Bars about 5 minutes before I read that question yesterday. So, obviously, I'm going to talk about Built Bar right now. So, y'all know how much I love Built Bar. It is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar if you've never had it before. I've been crushing these coconut brownie chunk, which were a limited edition. Peanut butter brownie is my favorite right now. I'm going to buy another box of those relatively soon. I've bought, I don't know how many boxes, 10, 12, 13, 14. I know, somewhere around there. My roommates bought boxes. Everyone I know that's bought boxes has loved them. Now, here's the thing. They are delicious. they also are very low calorie, very low carb and high protein. But I can't not eat two. But still, even eating two, that's less than the metrics that I used to eat as far as calories are concerned and more protein to boot. So go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off that next order at BuiltBar.com. LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Also got to talk to you about BetOnline.ag. That's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA's got its play-in. You got Major League Baseball with a no-hitter a night, apparently, and the NHL's starting the playoffs here. Those are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets. And guess what? It is free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag, sign up today, use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right. Zach at Zach Woodruff 3. I'm curious of your opinion on how someone with academic and health issues is the guy that Michigan will presumably land in the transfer portal as a grad transfer. I know you're assuming you're talking about the Oregon State, Jordan Whitley, defensive tackle. Hey, if he lands and admissions lets him in, then academic issues. I mean, here's one thing. Once you get your degree, it's easier to get in because you don't, as far as football is concerned, as far as the grad process, because you've got the degree, you don't have to have things transfer over. As far as the health issues, I just don't know much about him. If he's cleared by Michigan's doctors, then it is what it is. Something's got to give. That part's true. He also asked, best craft beer in Ann Arbor and in Michigan. So I haven't had a beer. I think 2014 was the last time I had a beer. About 4 months after the initial incident, I tried again. And I felt like death the next day, which sucked because it was my cousin's wedding and I just felt awful all day. But so I don't know. There's a lot has come out since, because craft beer was just kind of really fledgling. I really loved like Bell's Hop Slam. I was on an IPA kick at that time. I loved Hop Slam. I loved Founders Dirty Bastard. I loved Oatmeal Stout. I loved, what's the not Oatmeal Stout. I mean, there was an Oatmeal Stout, like, but I'm thinking of the Breakfast Stout, yeah, by Founders. Really, to me, there was no way you could go wrong with either Founders or Shorts. And I liked a lot of Bells, but Founders and Shorts, to me, were the best. The last beer I had was from Atwater, their Vanilla Java Porter. It had gotten leaps and bounds better from when it first came out. I just know there's a ton more out now. So I could not tell you what the best craft beer in Ann Arbor or Michigan is right now. I can tell you what it was in 2013, 2014. Couldn't tell you right now, unfortunately. Spencer Whitmore, at Spencer Whitmore. I've thought Cade moves like a 2018 Patterson, but is way more decisive. Obviously small sample size, but interested in your thoughts. I mean, it's a really small sample size. And I think that that's a good comparable. I don't necessarily know that he's more decisive. I think that the jury is very much out. But I think as far as skill set and ability, comparing him to Shea is pretty close. I think that's a pretty good comp. But, and obviously I know you're talking 2018. Shea wasn't asked to do a lot in 2018. Cade likewise wasn't asked to do a lot this last year. I just don't know that we have a full idea of what Cade is. But Matt Weiss says 10-year pro. So Jonathan Joseph at J Joseph 2156. What's your feelings on a completely new recruiting team plus all the new coaches? Is this a recipe for success? I mean, if you're not going to replace the head coach and you're not losing a lot of the guys that were like, well, we were here because of Harbaugh, we were going to be here because of Harbaugh, all that kind of stuff. I think that replacing a lot of the guys and basically forging a new path ahead is the way to do it. If you're going to keep Harbaugh here, as I've said before, guy didn't forget how to coach. Guy's got a really good track record of finding good coaches. I mean, Mo Linguist only lasted a spring. because Harbaugh identified a guy that was that ready to be a head coach. Barely a rental. As far as a new recruiting team, and I know we have another question here about that, which I'm going to answer here. So let me ask that, and then we'll press on with yours, Jonathan. But KRT at Farmark 84, Michigan finally beefing up and restructuring the recruiting department. Great to see, but why didn't this happen years ago? I'll tell you why, in my opinion, arrogance. To me, there was some arrogance. Think about, I think there's always been some arrogance with Michigan, but I mean, think about like a couple years ago when I talked about me asking Ohio State guys at Big Ten Media Days and them saying all this stuff about, you know, how they prepare for Michigan. I told some people at that were close to the Michigan side of things, and they were like, well, they can do what they do and we'll do what we do. It's like, yeah, but they do works. Whatever you're doing isn't. I think that's kind of similar with recruiting. I think that having fresh eyes on the situation and being more aggressive, and that's like beefing up everything, is definitely part of the recipe for success. They're modernizing. I think the part with the coaches also helps the recruiting, because now you have every single coach on that staff is a recruiter. Every single one of them. That was not the case. It look back at Jim Harbaugh's original staff. How many recruiters did you have? You had Jay Harbaugh, Greg Madison. Pretty much it. The next year, Chris Partridge gets promoted. So now you got Chris Partridge on there. Just having like 3 of 9 doesn't really work. So I think this is the way to go. Why didn't it happen years ago? Because they were too arrogant to see the issue, in my opinion. Hashtag answer that DM at @the_MikeB_show. Even though we're breaking in a new defense, do you think our defense will perform better in certain games? Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State, based simply on the fact that those teams that had figured out Don Brown's scheme, cough and play calls, cough, don't know what to expect from the new coordinator. I mean, assuming that knows how to change things up, which considering he's coming from the NFL and one of the best franchises in the NFL, I think, yes, I think that it will be better. How much better? I don't know that it will necessarily be, you know, what Michigan's defense had been, you know, 2015 through 2019, but I think it will be, you know, somewhere in the mid Brady Hoke era where it was like, hey, the defense is pretty good. It's like it's rated 20th or something like that. I think it could get there. I think it could be a top 20 defense or a top 30 defense. And when you look at the Wisconsin game last year, like how bad was Wisconsin? Not good last year. They won, what, 2 games last year, 2 or maybe 3? They beat Illinois and Michigan and then lost like everyone else with a pulse. But against Michigan, it just was evident that they knew what was coming. Every single play defensively. I could tell it from up in the press box. So I think that it will help significantly and that the defense will perform better just by virtue of that. And plus, it's still at worst the third best defense in the conference. Well, fourth. But unfortunately, those three you mentioned have better defenses probably as far as talent is concerned. Well, they're still probably more talented than Wisconsin. Dustin Wyckoff at Dusty1078. Best hire of the offseason. Who has the most to prove on the coaching staff? I don't know, because as if you've listened to the show for a while, Mo Linguist to me was the best hire, and he's Buffalo proved that. So I'm gonna have to go to go with Matt Weiss. I think Matt Weiss is. I think that they got a steal from Matt Weiss, a guy who worked with quarterbacks and running backs with the Baltimore Ravens, comes to Michigan to work with quarterbacks. Are you kidding me? I think that's an incredible hire. Most approved on the coaching staff, I think it's Josh Gattis for the reasons we talked about at the top of the show. I think it's a make or break year for him. Finishing us out, General Patton at S. Patton, 9293. Grading the Michigan strength coach, Ben Herbert. Last year, team looked slow and weak. What is being done to change? Well, number one, They didn't have spring ball. They didn't have tradition. Like, they had to spend months working out on their own. I don't think you can give last year, put it on Ben Herbert. You put it on the COVID year. You don't know how motivated those guys were working out from home for most of the year. I'm talking like half the year when they're normally in Schembechler Hall. Like right now, not right now, but they're in Schembechler Hall working out. They couldn't do that at this time last year. They had to do it from home. I remember going and seeing guys working out on the old Regents Field. All right. That'll do it for us today. We have plenty to talk about tomorrow, including the fact that fans will be back in the stands. We'll go over some of these lists that I've come up with, Big Ten ranking stuff, stadiums and stuff. So that'll probably fill the two shows tomorrow. So look out for one early, one late. We'll talk to you then. Peace.